Good morning. If you have your Bible handy, I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 26 to 38 in this message, A Virgin Birth, from my series for Christmas holidays called The Nativity Story. Let me ask you if you believe a few things. Do you believe, first of all, in the inspiration and infallibility of Scripture, meaning that it was all inspired by God, every word, every verse, and the infallibility, that whatever the Scripture speaks about, it is infallible, it cannot fail? Do you believe those two things, the inspiration and the infallibility of Scripture? Do you believe in the deity of Christ, that He is indeed God, co-equal with the Father, co-equal with the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that Jesus, do you believe in Jesus' virgin birth and His miracles? That Jesus was born to Mary, not because Joseph had relations with her, but she was still a virgin. The Holy Spirit impregnated her. And do you believe in the miracles that Jesus performed in the gospel record? Do you believe in His penal death for our sins? That He went to the cross to pay for our sin as our substitute. He died on the cross and paid the penalty that we should have paid. And do you believe His physical resurrection from the dead? And do you believe that He eventually, at a time set by the Father, that He will return to earth? Because you see, each of these requires you have faith in things that are difficult to understand. The last church that Joanne and I were a part of when we lived in Miami, we were part of three churches as we moved to different parts of Miami. But the last church, the one that we looked at as our home church, back in Miami, before we went out into ministry, went to seminary. Two miracles occurred in that church around the time that we were members. One was a woman who was a prostitute in a drug addict. She contracted AIDS. Was dying of AIDS. She came to church. She was invited to come to church. And she was prayed for. And she was healed of AIDS. She eventually, she got off the drugs. She got her life right with Christ. And she actually ended up marrying one of the members of the church, who was one of the vocalists in the choir and sang a lot of the solos in the worship services. Big church of about 2,000 members. The other was a woman who Joanne got to know really well. She was diagnosed with a brain tumor that was growing over a period of time, and during revival services, a couple of nights into the revival services, she came to church with the, you hear this story, the scans of her brain tumors and the progression in there, and then new scans that show it gone. And when she gave testimony of that, revival broke out in that church, and the revival preacher stayed there and continued to preach every night for 3 weeks from the original 4 or 5 days that was planned. These are two people who we got to know. One of them became a friend with Joanne. Do you believe God performs miracles? You see, believing the impossible goes against our natural inclinations. Listen, Mary, Jesus' mother, was no less human than any of us. Let me ask you, when was the last time you asked God? Or should I say, when was the last time God did a miracle for you? There are impossible situations in life. What do you do with situations that are beyond your control? Well, let's consider three factors that we see in Mary's response to God's announcement of what was happening in her life. First of all, we can see the fear of an unknown event. Look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. Now in the sixth month, now that's referring to the sixth month of pregnancy of her cousin Elizabeth. You had to read the previous parts of the chapter in order to catch that. But in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Imagine the scene. How did she respond? Well, with her emotions and fear. Rejoice, while frightened because of what she was seeing. She reacted the same way we do. Troubled. What in the world is happening to me? And why? So the first natural response in a situation is emotional. Second, we can see the fact of the established order. Verses 30 to 34. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary's listening to all this. And then, verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" You see, every mother's dream, right? A son who is destined for greatness. It says, will be great, will be called the Son of the Highest, will receive the throne of David. Wow. For a Jewish mother, her son's going to receive the throne of David. Will rule Israel forever. Descendants will also reign. Oh, my boy, this will be my son. What every Jewish mother tells her son, when you grow up, you're going to be the best. Lawyer, doctor, whatever. You're going to be the best. I always remember the cartoon. I've seen it on Facebook many times. The cartoon of three Jewish mothers. Three mothers who have bumper stickers on the back of their camels. The first mother's says, my son will be a doctor. The second mother says, my son will be a lawyer. And Mary says, my son is God. How did Mary respond this time? Well, with her mind, considering the facts. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I'm a virgin. How can I have a son? This is contrary to natural processes. You see, the next natural response after the fear and the emotional response is the logical thinking. And then third, we can see the faith of a surrendered life. Look at verses 35 to 38. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So, now how did she respond? Well, she could have responded, let me get this right. I'm a virgin. I'm going to get pregnant. Not by Joseph, but the Holy Spirit. Is that what you're saying? Come on now, Gabriel. I mean, really? No, she didn't say that. Mary was available and obedient. Someone told Mary, somewhere along the way, someone told Mary that God could do anything, and she believed it. Notice that Gabriel reminded of that fact. God can do anything. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Is that demonstrated in your prayers? 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Take a look there. The first part of that verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. What does God want to do? Well, it says it right there. Show himself strong. Well, to who? To whom does he want to do this? To those who are loyal to him. It says on behalf of. Wow. Think about that. God wants to display his power for committed Christians. Listen, things haven't changed since Bible times. Think about it for a moment. Elijah, up there on Mount Carmel, three times they brought up barrels of water to soak down that altar. Three men in the furnace, seven times hotter. What about Gideon? Less men to fight the enemy. 300 against thousands, tens of thousands. Clay pots, torches, horns. No swords, no weapons like that. The death of Lazarus. Jesus finds out that he's dying and he stays longer where he was. Peter in jail. Not only was he placed in the inner cell with the door locked, he was chained to the wall. Impossible situation. Feeding of the 5,000 with just a few fish and some loaves of bread. Listen, what is your impossible situation right now? Those are all impossible situations. What's your impossible situation? Is it finances? Is it your health? What about a rebellious child? that you're dealing with. An unsaved spouse. Relationship that just isn't right. What about your work situation? I mean, the list can go on and on. Well, let me ask you, how have you prayed in faith, believing God can do anything? Because you see, God loves the challenge of the impossible. I love thinking about, we're talking about those different impossible situations. I like thinking about Otto Koenig, the missionary to Irian Jaya, who was talking about Elijah up on Mount Carmel and bringing up all the water and bringing up barrels and barrels and just soaking that thing down. And the challenge was that the real God was to bring down fire. And Elijah was making it very difficult. He was becoming an impossible situation. Well, let me ask you, was God in heaven going, hey, easy. Easy, Elijah. Easy. You're making this thing too hard for me. Now, I think God was standing in heaven, and he goes, Michael, Gabriel, come here. Watch this. I'm going to hit that thing dead on. Yeah. Have you prayed in faith, believing God can do anything? See, God loves the challenge of the impossible. Think about it for a moment. Jesus was coming to live an incredible life of miracles, to die for our sins and to rise from the dead. And how did he arrive? He arrived through the miracle of a virgin birth to an available and obedient young lady who processed through from fear to the fact of faith. Listen, ask God to perform the impossible for you. I want to ask you two questions. You need to answer these. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Have you acknowledged to Him that you're a sinner? Because God's Word says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Have you acknowledged the fact that you deserve His punishment for your sin? The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. Because God loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God showed that life in giving us eternal life by Christ Jesus, by sending Jesus, and not waiting for us to get cleaned up and ready. But it says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we need to confess that and believe that. God did that for us. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And then we just need to reach out and ask Him to forgive us for eternal life. For whoever, Romans 10:13, calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Are you saved? And my other question is, are you loyal to Him? Are you surrendered? Is He your Lord? In cooperation. He's your Lord because He's your Savior. But are you surrendered to Him in your life? Well, He wants to be strong on your behalf as your heart's loyal to Him. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for this word. Thank You for the willingness, the obedience of Your servant Mary in becoming the mother of Jesus incarnate. And Father, may we have that same obedient heart, that willingness to be used of You. And Father, would You meet our needs? Would You take care of the impossible situations in our lives as a witness to You and for Your glory? And Father, I just place it all before You in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.